It's Thursday, October 14th. This is episode 41 of the Shawnakee, entitled Good-Hearted, Hospitable Creature. For the Shawnakee, I'm Patrick McLean. The old lady walked out on the front porch and spit. August. She'd never liked August, but then there wasn't much she did like. She'd finished the washing up, and her reward was to set a spell and sweat on the front porch swing. She couldn't even do that in peace. Inside, her husband sawed the radio dial back and forth trying to find a ball game. Damn old fool. Just her luck marrying his kind. Never worked a lick more than he had to. She spit again, and remembered something her mother had told her long ago. Spitting wasn't ladylike. She gave a mean little chuckle. Old woman sitting on her porch laughing about nothing in particular. The very stamp and seal of a crazy old bat. She didn't care. Crazy, unladylike. She was too old to give a damn. A shiny new Buick turned onto the street. Her street. She'd lived there 53 years. Knew all the cracks in the sidewalks, knew all the secrets behind the curtains. It was her street. What was this stranger on her street? The glare of the headlights intensified the unpleasant look on her face. As the car came to rest in front of her house, she pursed her lips in disapproval. Nobody came to see her anymore. Leastwise, nobody she wanted to see. A young man in a suit got out of the car. Good-looking young man. He was the sort of man to inspire sin. All that fuss about who you could spread your legs for. Now that the appetite for it was shriveled up in her, she wished there'd been a little more sinning in her past. "Nice night," said the young man. When he didn't get an answer, he removed his hat and mopped at his forehead with a handkerchief. "It's hot," she said. "Heat's good for you. Sweats out the toxins, purification, you see." Must be a gentleman. Gentlemen always have handkerchiefs. Wondered if she could get a rise out of him. She spit at his feet. Young man just smiled.
"Who's out there?"
her husband called out.
"It ain't no never mind to you,"
the old woman yelled back. Her husband turned up the staticky ball game in retaliation. "Betty? Nobody calls me Betty, not since Mama died. How'd you know that? You know, Betty, it sure would be nice to have a glass of iced tea." "You came here for iced tea?" "No, ma'am. But it's been a long day. Sure could use a little lubrication while we talk things over." "Exactly what you think we got to talk over?" The young fella gave a little chuckle of his own. "Well, you're certainly not the most hospitable of creatures, but all the same, I'm the kind that takes sympathy. We've been reviewing certain accounts, and we've come to the conclusion that you've been shorted for some time. Fine woman like you, works hard your whole life, and this is your reward? After a life of service and joy, well, it just strikes us as a column of figures that don't quite add up." Betty's eyes narrowed suspiciously. "Who's this we? You from the bank?" "No, I'm not from the bank. Not exactly." "Mortgage been paid. I don't care much for bankers. What do you want?"
"I'm here to help you."
"Don't need no damn charity. Who you think you are, anyway?"
The young man gave a sad little smile and looked deep into Betty's eyes. Betty called Elizabeth since she was 14. Betty, only Elizabeth after her mother died. He looked through Elizabeth and into Betty, and she glared back, trying to stare the young Peckerwood down, not afraid of any door-to-door salesman. But then a bead of sweat sliding down her spine turned to ice. In the young man's eyes was everything she tried to hide or bury or forget. Passions she thought long controlled or forgotten surfaced in the dark pools of his eyes. They flooded back stronger than she'd ever remembered them, and somehow, it made her feel young. She was afraid.
Would y'all care for some iced tea now?"
"No, thank you, ma'am. Don't believe there's time for that now."
I'm sorry,
he said, touching a cold finger to her withered lips. "You don't need to be anything than what you are, what you really are, in there." He pushed the tip of his finger between her lips and past her yellowed teeth, barely a millimeter, but a violation all the same. As she pushed back in the swing, the veins in her legs swelled. I want to give it all back to you. All of the youth, all of the heat, all of the speed of immortality, so that you can leave the ache in your joints on this porch swing and rise up a young girl in a new dress. What do I have to do? Ah, well, there is that, he said good-naturedly. There is that. I didn't mention a trade or a charge, but if you want to help, and why wouldn't a good-hearted, hospitable creature like yourself want to help? If you want to help, there are so many accounts to handle, and though we are legion, there's only so much I can do. You could balance an account for us. Just one. You know, easy for you to do. Easy as pie. Easy as fixing a glass of iced tea or adding a special touch to the red-eye gravy. He looked inside towards the radio, towards her husband. She didn't want to look into his eyes, but he lifted her chin. One small touch, and then you rise up singing, as young and as fresh as the dew. The Buick's taillights receded into the night. The crack of the bat, the announcer's shrill excitement cutting through the static and the cheering crowd.